Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I am Sister Mara and delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Well, today already the 13th of August, corresponding to the 22nd of Zilhijjah, the year 1441, and we're almost coming to a close of this Hijri year, and inshallah, by next week, we will be in our new year. It's the year 1442, inshallah, ameen. Well, here's what you can look forward to in today's program. This week, our theme topic is on all things Italian. Now, it's all about Italian food. So when I say Italian, you must be thinking of pizzas and pastas. Well, there's more to pizzas and pastas in Italian cooking. Well, Auntie Hava and Auntie Kareja will be joining me after the guest interview, sharing with you some tips on how to make your pizza. I mean, pizzas, yes, certainly pizzas as well. How to make the best homemade pizza, as well as sharing tips on boiling pasta, when to add the sauce and the whole thing that goes into the making of pasta. Then recipes you can look forward to is, we're going to be sharing with you a classic pizza dough recipe, courtesy of Sister Bibi Aisha Kadwa, Sunnyside Classics. And then Auntie Kareja will also share with you a spinach and feta pasta recipe and a spaghetti ravioli recipe from our guest. Yes, and talking about our guest, today we actually going to be talking to Chef Yusuf Riava. Now, Yusuf, known as Chef Joe, began his journey learning real Italian recipes from his mum. His mum herself is the biggest motivator when it comes to cooking. Yusuf's passion has led him to open up his very first restaurant where his passion and flavor meets. So, assalamu alaikum, Yusuf. How are you?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm well, and you?
Alhamdulillah, delighted to have you on my show, Yusuf.
JazakAllah for having me.
Ameen, ameen. Yusuf, your family has been known to cook the best Italian food for years. Why Italian, though?
You know, I think they kind of just fell into it, into the business. But more so, you know, most moms are in the kitchen. And my mom has been experimenting with recipes, brought up into a kitchen. Like, I mean, she learned from her mom. And, you know, food is always a passion.
Yes, certainly. Absolutely, yes.
And you Italian flavors are just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Italian flavors are, you know, they're rich and they're simple and they have a lot of flavor.
Okay, yes, certainly. Now, when it comes to pasta, do you prefer store-bought pasta or homemade? And what is the difference in taste and texture, Yusuf?
Well, anything homemade is always better than a store-bought mm-hmm. item, right? Firstly, homemade pasta is cheaper to make, right? It is tastier and it is fresher, mm-hmm. you know? But with today, you know, we always look for convenience, you know, because it takes time to make a homemade pasta. And then as well with that, it goes with a drying period and stuff like that. So you're looking at quite some time on making homemade pasta. So we generally, because of convenience and we like to have things more efficiently, is that we go for store-bought pasta where we just boil it in a pan. And it's not exactly the same, but it has still a wonderful taste.
And you know, Yusuf, pastas are very quick and easy, and I know the children love pasta, you know?
Yes.
Yes. Now, is a pasta machine worth investment for a home?
Absolutely. I think it's a great investment for every home. The pastas that you can make come in many different shapes, you know? And you can use the same dough and, you know, just play around with it. I think there's probably about almost 20 different shapes of pasta, maybe more. And, yeah, and they all use the same dough.
The same dough. And I suppose different shapes and sizes, and you can add a bit of color to it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can put spinach in pasta, you know, to give it that color and that taste. People experiment a lot with it. I mean, you know, we've made homemade pasta. It's just that it takes a bit of time to make, and then, like I said, the drying period. But still, very good. You know, it's softer, it's richer, it's more like creamier, can I say?
Okay, yes. Now, Yusuf, we spoke about pastas, you know. Pizza, you know, as a chef, you know, in your opinion, which is a nice dough, you know, a better dough? Is an east dough a better dough or a non-east dough?
I'm sorry, I didn't
For a
that.
Pizza. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay. When it comes to making pizzas, Okay, yeah. We spoke about pastas. Now, when it comes to making pizzas, is yeast dough a better dough than a non-yeast dough?
Well, you know, I usually make my dough with a dry yeast, and I feel that it's better. I like it more than a dough without yeast, I mean, you know.
Okay, and when it comes to cheeses, you know, is there a specific cheese that you must use on making your pizza?
Not at all. I think the most preferable cheese is mozzarella, right? And it borders along with cheddar. But, I mean, you can use any cheese that melts nicely. Parmesan cheese, for instance, is not a cheese that can melt, right? So it will be used as just a topping on top of a pizza instead of baking it in the oven and letting the cheese melt. Mozzarella is nice and creamy, you know, so it melts and it goes nicely on the pizza.
Okay, and also, you know, Yusuf, when it comes to, you know, how do you get your crust, the bottom of your pizza, how do you get the crust, like, nice and crispy?
Well, that all is based on your dough, right? What's your dough also? There's a lot of different types of recipes, all right? And your oven is also very, very important. We use a traditional oven, right, a wood-burning oven, mm-hmm. you know, compared to your normal conventional ovens, which uses yes. electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it bakes, it's authentic, you know.
Okay. For myself as a housewife and for many others listening to the program, on what temperature, if we use a convention oven, on what temperature is it best to use baked pizzas on?
Well, generally a hot temperature is good, right? Because you want that base to cook and you want that dough to rise. If you're going to use an electric oven, you know, your dough is a little bit different from that we make using a classic wood-burning oven. So it's generally a thicker base and it rises nicely in an oven because of the, I suppose, the heat and...
Okay, so Jazakallah for that. Yusuf, can you share with us one easy homemade pasta recipe? And I've got it here in front of me. It's a spaghetti. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it properly. It's a really recipe as well. So please go ahead and share it with the listeners.
All right, sure. The recipe that I'm sharing with you today is a spaghetti aioli.
Mm-hmm.
Aioli is a traditional Italian pasta, right, deriving from Naples in Italy, right? And, you know, like I said, the Italians use a very rich flavor, right? Simple flavors, but they, you know, they're very tasty. And I would assume that because coming from a village in Italy, you know, they'd use more natural ingredients, your garlic and tomato and stuff like that. So an aioli pasta is a pasta that isn't made with any sauce. It's a pasta using pressed garlic or crushed or minced garlic. And cooking with olive oil, you know, and you generally have your different flavors. A simple aioli pasta, which just consists of pressed garlic, maybe some olive oil and butter and spaghetti. But you can always add some more things, you know, whether it's your mushrooms or olives or onions. And, you know, just to give it a bit of color and a little bit more flavor, you can add the things. And if you really want, I mean, a lot of us eat meat, so chicken and steak is also preferable.
And if you've got cocktail tomatoes in here as well.
Yes, you can. You can put cocktail tomatoes, you can put green peppers, red peppers, yellow peppers. You know, I like to use a little bit of capers as well. It's a little bit salty, but it's very nice in flavor.
Okay, lovely, yes, Yusuf. So it depends, you know, each one their own preference, and you can basically create your own pasta recipes as well.
Absolutely. There's no secret ingredient. It's just whatever you feel that works for you. You go ahead and you make that.
Okay. Is it better, you know, with regards to pasta, Yusuf, I know you actually use fresh cream, sour cream, and also, you know, so can you use a combination of both?
Well, I usually use fresh cream. I don't really cook with sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh cream is nice. You know, it gives that very nice, rich taste. You know, you want that from a pasta. Pasta is comfort food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of pasta, you know, you want to be, you want to have something wholesome, something nutritious, you know, and something that is, oh, how can I say, wholesome. You know, and pasta is a wholesome meal.
And it's filling as well, yes, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Yusuf, when it comes to cooking, what is the one item you have to have in your kitchen?
a dishcloth, firstly.
Yes, certainly. Right. Oh, yes, definitely. I can't do without that, yes.
A dishcloth. And me personally, I love my knives.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every good kitchen needs a very good knife.
Mm-hmm. And that makes life so much easier. So.
It does. It cuts time. You feel happy when you're using a good sharp knife and you can cut through a slice of tomato without letting any of the juices or anything spoil out from it. You know, it makes such a big difference.
Bishop, before you leave us, you know, just a bit of advice, you know, for those students listening to us on this program, you know, as a career as a chef, you know, just give them a bit of advice on that as well.
Well, I would say to every young listener that's listening out there, right, is go out there and learn to cook. And even if you don't pursue a career in to being a chef, it is always a great benefit to know how to cook. You know, as a male, right, if you know how to cook, it makes life simpler. I mean, in your marriages and stuff like that. You know, you can help the wife or your partner or your spouse in the kitchen, and it just kind of spices things up a bit.
Most certainly, Yusuf. Jazakallah for that lovely advice, Yusuf, and for sharing with us some lovely, important advice on pizzas and pastas and for the recipe as well. Jazakallah khair, Yusuf. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah to yourself as well, Sushana Mara.
Ami, a pleasure.
Ami. Our restaurant, also, can I just say something about our restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Is that we are a restaurant called Velvet on Grant, based in Norwood. Right, this is my restaurant. I've opened up recently, and we'd encourage people to come past. You know, we've got a nice vibe and a nice little setup, and it's warming and comfortable. You know.
Yes, inshallah. Jazakallah, Yusuf. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, it was Chef Yusuf Riava, and he spoke to us on pizzas and pastas as well. And the recipe he shared with us is actually a basic spaghetti aioli recipe, and the recipe is on our Radio Islam website. Go to radioislam.co.za, and it's a very, very easy recipe, you know, and we will be sharing with you later on in the program the complete method and the ingredients as well. Well, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by my two lovely girls, Auntie Khadija and Auntie Hawa. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Well, before the break, we spoke to Chef Yusuf Riava, who shared with us some pizza and pasta tips as well. And let me welcome my two lovely co-hosts online. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Hawa. How are you keeping?
Wa alaikum salam, alhamdulillah, and hope to hear the same from Auntie Khadija, Sister Amara, and our guests.
Yes, Jazakallah, Auntie Hawa. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Khadija. How are you keeping?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm alhamdulillah well, and I hope all the listeners are also well.
Well, yes, today we're talking all things Italian, so I'm going to go over to Auntie Hawa. Auntie Hawa, tell us, what exactly is Italian cuisine?
Italian cuisine is mainly to do with, they use a lot of tomatoes, and their basic dishes or traditional dishes are made with pasta, or they make with rice, and they make things like pizzas, and then they make things called like dolmas, which is a mixture filled up and wrapped in a grape leaf, and then it is steamed. Those are some of the dishes that they do use, and it's very popular. They love to use their olives in all foods that they make. Mm-hmm. It grows in that part of the world, and it is very tasty.
Mm-hmm. You know, Auntie Hawa, if you look at Italian cuisine, you know, some of the ingredients are like olive oil, it's olives as well, it's like the vinegar as well, and it's the mushrooms as well. And those are also all Sunnah foods, so it's amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm. They are Sunnah foods, and of course, olive oil has a lot of good benefits when it comes to health.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For cholesterol, etc.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, they also use a lot of tomatoes. And I think they use different types of tomatoes, you know. Yes. Maybe Auntie Hawa can just tell us more about the tomatoes used in Italian foods.
They have all kinds of tomatoes and all colors, incidentally. Mm-hmm. Even green ones, but they are ripe.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when the tomatoes are small, like the Roma tomatoes, these tomatoes are really not cut using a knife. They are usually squashed with the fingers. And then added to the sauce. The other tomatoes are usually sliced. I don't think they use many food process to bring the tomatoes down to a puree form.
No,
because the sauce that they are using must have some kind of texture. And when they use tomatoes, it depends on what type of Italian dish you are making, and it will state the type of tomato that you can use.
Then I know they also use a lot of fresh herbs and mushrooms and cheese.
Like and basil.
Basil, yes. And polenta, rice, and like salami. If you look at the processed meat, they like to use salami as well, and maybe like different types of beans as well. Yes. Okay, coming over to Auntie Karisha. Auntie Karisha, you're making a pasta, you know. For how long should you basically boil your pasta?
Okay, remember something, keep your water boiling, and the pasta mustn't be cooked boiled very softly. It must just be a la dente, and then take it off the heat. And I normally, when I boil my pasta, I put a little bit of oil in there with salt. So what happens, it doesn't stick together.
Okay, good idea.
Just till it's not even very long. It must just be cooked nicely and then take it off the stove.
Okay.
Also, Sister Amara, Auntie Khadija mentioned putting oil into the water. I believe one of the rules for making pasta is don't add the oil. When you do that, then the sauce that you are making will slip off the pasta. It won't combine and make the dish equally equally in texture and color.
Okay.
So try to avoid using the oil. But the salt is very, very important.
Important, okay, yes. And then, Auntie Karisha, coming back to you, you know, if you're making a pasta now, you're going to make like a nice sauce. Say you're making an arrabbiata pasta, and do you boil your pasta first, like how you normally do, and then just before eating, do you add the sauce in, or can you add it beforehand and heat up?
I think you can heat it up. You can put it in and then heat it up afterwards. It doesn't really matter. But, Amara, I see a lot of people, what they do is they normally use the water of the pasta to make a nice sauce. All this starch, they make it and make it become really a nice sauce with the water. They don't discard the water for the pasta also.
It's a good idea, actually. You save the water of the pasta that you're boiling on.
Yes.
Also, this water can be used to slightly thin down the sauce. Because if the sauce is too thick, then the pasta will not shape well, and it will be like, you know, not nice to eat if it's too thick. So using the pasta water, you can thin down the sauce, and the pasta will be more attractive, and it will go onto the fork quite easily.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly.
You know, when they make those rolls with the fork.
With a fork, yes, certainly, yes. And, just to remind the listeners that our question for today is, name three ingredients you won't find in an Italian kitchen. So you can WhatsApp me on 082-565-8648. Remember, that's only the WhatsApp line for today. Name three ingredients you will find in an Italian kitchen. We'd love to hear from you for any of your cooking and baking questions or concerns. Even with regard to peak time pasta, you may be grappling with it. You might need to ask a question. You can WhatsApp me on 082-565-8648. Okay, more on pasta, Auntie Karisha, Auntie Hava. Also, you know, I was asking the chef, you know, he said he only likes to use fresh cream. Now, certain pasta recipes also call for a combination of sour cream and fresh cream, you know, Auntie Karisha?
Yes. When you're making normally a fettuccine, it normally has a sour cream and fresh cream in there. And you won't believe how nice. It's such a beautiful texture. It's not too rich because of the sour cream, and the consistency is very, very nice, actually, with the sour cream.
With the sour cream, yes. Especially when you're making like a fettuccine. Now, when it comes to mushrooms, you know, mushrooms have a lot of... retain a lot of water, you know. Water. So is it best to cook it dry, or do you just half cook it before you adding it to your pasta and fritta?
Now, again, it depends on each person, but I think you must just cook it first and then add it to your pasta. Like you say, it retains a lot of water, so at least by doing this, you burn out the water and then you add it to your pasta.
Sister Amara, any additions you are putting into your pasta, like mushrooms, chicken fillet, mm-hmm. or steak, or little cubes of steak, etc., you must cook it beforehand. Mm-hmm. And the tip to keep the pasta tasty and moist is prepare your sauces, your meats, whatever you're going to use in that dish beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put your pasta on to boil, because it takes from 8 to 10 minutes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, of course, as Auntie Kataja did say, save some of the water. And then when you are going to ready to serve your pasta, you put your additions in, like your chicken, etc., and then your sauce. And then if you need it to thin it down a bit, you can add a bit of water and serve it immediately. But don't cook the pasta beforehand and leave it to dry out, because then it's going to be stick together, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It'll stick, and then it won't have a nice taste, because when starch cools down, it is made of wheat, when starch cools down, the taste differs a bit. So you want to serve it immediately and hot.
Okay, so basically a pasta, you must make it and have it at the same time. Don't leave it, you know. Unless you're making a pasta in an oven now, you know.
Mm. Yeah, if you're grilling the top, etc., like in a macaroni cheese.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you can make it a little beforehand, add your sauce, top it up with your cheese and your herbs, and then you can grill it. And that too is not a long process.
Mm. Okay. How do you know pasta is fresh? You know, if you're buying store-bought pasta, obviously you're going to check for the date stamp.
Yeah.
So, but how do you know, you know, it's fresh?
It will just look... okay, it won't have any cracks in them.
Yes.
When pasta ages, it cracks.
Mm-hmm, yes.
You know, it forms like a floury mixture when it's old.
When you are boiling
especially
it,
the spaghetti. When you're buying a spaghetti that is old, you know, you'll notice that it turns like floury. When you're breaking it, it doesn't break easily off. There's a little bit of like a flour mixture.
It crumbs mainly.
Then you know that that's old pasta.
Pasta. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Let's now go on to pizzas. I think everyone's favorite as well. And I know there are different types of pizzas you can make. Now let's talk about the yeast dough. Maybe we can ask Auntie Hava to come in here. You know, you get different types of yeast dough. And like I said, I asked the chef, you know, he said he prefers the yeast dough recipe as well. And there's lots of non-yeast dough recipes as well. He said we're going to be sharing one later on in the program. When it comes to yeast dough, Auntie Hava, you know, what's the basic yeast dough, you know, to use when making a pizza?
A basic recipe, you would use about 3 cups of flour,
mm-hmm.
2 teaspoons of dried yeast, and I think 1/2 cake of fresh yeast. Now, when it comes to using fresh yeast, you've got to set the sponge. That is, place the yeast in a container, add a little bit tepid water or warm water and a teaspoon of sugar, and allow it to stand for about 5 minutes until it bubbles. At the same time, you can also see that the yeast is still working and the cell or the plant cell has not died if it bubbles. If you're using dried yeast, you can pour the yeast into the flour itself. And then you use tepid water or warm water, and you can mix your dough. Don't forget the sugar, because the sugar, maple syrup or golden syrup, anything that is sweet, is the food for the yeast to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put that into your dough, mix it well, and allow it to rise for about an hour and 15 minutes and so, until it doubles its size.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're putting it to double or to rise, you must oil the dish and oil the dough.
Yes.
So it doesn't stick onto the sides of the dish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It has a pleasant taste, and it is spongier and lighter when cooked.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, and I think Auntie Kataja, it's really important, you know, to basically pre-bake your pizza bases beforehand, whether it's yeast dough or non-yeast dough.
It is, and normally when you're pre-baking your dough, you mustn't over-bake it also. It's just for the dough to just be firm, and you take it out of the oven, and then you prepare your filling.
Put your toppings
and put it back into the oven. So what happens, the base of the pizza will be nice and soft. It won't be like dry and burnt, like, you know, too dry out. And another thing, like Auntie Ava, you can put olive oil also in your dough a little bit. And if you want to, if you want a little bit of mixed herbs in the dough, also makes a lovely texture, actually, of the dough.
Yes, you can basically season your dough, you know?
Yes, you season
the dough. Sister Amara, when it, comes to baking an east crust for a pizza, we can use our normal oven, the convection oven, or the thermofan oven. Mm-hmm. There's no problem there. But if you want to be more professional, then you buy what is called a pizza stone.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. You heat the stone in the oven to the right temperature. Then you place your pizza on the stone, and it will bake from there. This stone will ensure that you have it cooked well at the bottom and crisp.
And somebody sent me a tip. They said, I sprinkle millimil or soju on my tray, then put the paste and bake. It bakes very crispy, yes.
Okay. Or you can use those baking sheets, silicone baking sheets. That also works very well.
They work very, very well indeed, yes. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to pizza toppings, you know, what's a nice idea to make? Like, we want to put some people actually make their own pizza chutney, you know, as a topping, you know, before they put their cheese and their fillings and things like that. Yes. So, Auntie Gracia, what would be a nice pizza topping to put?
Again, it's on every individual. You get so many store-bought pastas, pizza sauces that you can put. But normally, when you make a homemade one, you normally just boil your onion and tomato together. And once the onion and tomato is cooked, you liquidize it all with a little bit of garlic in there and salt and pepper, a little olive oil, and then that's your base of your pizza. And from there, you can create your own mixture of your chicken, your bologna, your chops, whatever you want to. And then, of course, the cheeses, which is so important. Like the chef said this a while ago, that mozzarella is the best cheese to use for pizzas.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the cheddar cheese makes your pizza too oily. Even Texas cheese is actually quite nice.
It's also nice, yes.
You can even use feta cheese.
Feta cheese, yes.
But that you just crumble on your...
On the top, yeah.
Like you're making a three cheeses pizza, you know. You get feta, mozzarella, and whichever other cheese you want. Maybe like a Tassel cheese as well.
Yes.
Sister Amara, when it comes to the sauce for the pizzas, and you're making it at home, I usually make like maybe with a kilo of tomatoes and fill it into a suitable glass container, and I keep it in the fridge. And then when you need a pizza, like if you got the bases ready, like if you pre-cook your bases and you freeze them, and then within 10, 15 minutes, you've got fresh pizza ready if your sauce is already cooked
Okay, lovely tip. Okay, and when you're talking about making pizzas as well, what comes to mind is, I'm sure many sisters must be asking this, you know, when they make their pizzas beforehand, say like before Ramadan, they're filling up mini pizzas or big pizzas, whatever size pizzas you're making, and then you want to make the pizza now complete, and then they add the cheese, they feel that you freeze the pizza and the cheese starts falling off. So a good idea is to, once in a while, just keep your oven on very low, you know, and let your cheese melt. And wait for your pizza to get cold and then freeze it. In that way, your cheese won't crumble and fall off.
Because it's already melted.
It's already melted, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have a question for you. What is a good pizza stone?
It's one that's got good heating, conducting qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And it must heat up easily. And you must remember that when you're using a pizza stone, don't touch it. Because it's of course you're going to burn. I think it is usually made of granite or marble.
Marble, yes.
And it's a bit heavy as well, you know?
It is a bit heavy, yes.
Okay. All right, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're taking more of your WhatsApp questions or concerns regarding making pizzas or pastas or any cooking questions or concerns. And also name three ingredients you will find in an Italian kitchen. And the number to WhatsApp on today's program is 082-565-8648. When we come back, we will be sharing with you those lovely recipes. Stay tuned. Welcome and welcome back. Well, today we're talking about all Italian foods, and we're talking about pizzas and pastas, and we welcome any of your questions or concerns. cooking or baking, which regards to pizzas, pastas, anything else. And we're also asking you, the question is, name three ingredients you will find in an Italian kitchen. You can WhatsApp me on 082-565-8648. Well, welcome back, Antikreja Nantihava. Just for our benefit, a listener says, pizza stone is made of clay, not granite.
Okay.
And then, Antikreja, let's go on to the recipes now. Then we can carry on taking all the other WhatsApp messages and answering all of them as well. Okay, I'm just going to go and share with the listeners the spaghetti aioli recipe by Chef Yusuf Riava that we had on when we commenced the program. The ingredients are olive oil, one pressed garlic clove, a quarter onion diced, then 30 grams sliced olives, 30 grams cocktail tomatoes, then sliced red pepper, a sliced green pepper, a sliced yellow pepper, and spaghetti, he says, store-bought is fine. If you make your own, even better, salt and pepper to taste. Then Chef Yusuf says, bring a pot of water to the boil and cook your spaghetti for 15 minutes. Strain and rinse with cold water. Put it aside. Put your pan on high heat and add olive oil. Add in your peppers and garlic and let them cook. Add in the other ingredients once the peppers are roasted. Add salt and pepper and then add your spaghetti. A little bit of fresh green chili will be good just to get the taste buds going a bit. Serve with chopped spring onion for garnish and enjoy. A very easy, simple recipe. Looks, sounds tasty indeed, Antikreja
Nantihava. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does sound easy to make and it sounds tasty.
Okay, Antikreja, let's go on to the spinach and feta pasta recipe. This also sounds very, very yummy.
Okay, for the spinach and feta pasta, you need one onion, 2 tablespoons of ghee, a packet of chopped spinach, salt to taste, 1 cup chicken fillet cubed, that's optional, 1/2 teaspoon lemon pepper, 1 teaspoon of green ground chilies, 1 teaspoon of chopped garlic. Then for the white sauce, you need 2 tablespoons of ghee, 3 tablespoons flour, and add milk as needed. Boil your spaghetti separately. Now for the method, in a deep pot, add your ghee and braise your onions until it's transparent in color. Add in your cubed fillet. Then add your spinach, salt, pepper, green chili and garlic. Allow to cook until done and a little water till it's burned out. Make your white sauce and add it to the chicken and spinach mix. Then add your pasta and mix well. I even added some mushrooms as well. I sauté in another pan with olive oil, salt and pepper. Add into the Pyrex dish. Crumble some feta cheese over and grate cheese. Bake and enjoy.
A lovely, lovely recipe.
Really, very lovely.
It is very, very nice indeed, you know. Mm. And you know what I like about pastas, you know, although I'm not a fan of pastas, you know, but what I like about it is that, you know, a pasta is something you don't have to have chicken or meat with it, you know. You can just put whatever you have, you know.
Yes. Even a meat-free pasta is very nice.
Yes, certainly. Then, Antikreja, please go ahead and share with us a classic pizza dough recipe. And this is courtesy of Bibi Aisha Kadwa of Sunnyside Classic. You know, I've made this pizza dough recipe, I think, many, many times. It's a hit. It's been tried and tested, and it's so easy to make.
Very easy. It's a non-yeast dough, this one.
Yes, it's a non-yeast dough.
Okay. So for this, you need 2 cups of sifted all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic salt, 1/2 teaspoon of dry herbs, 4 tablespoons oil, 3 teaspoons full baking powder. Rub in method. Add 4 tablespoons of plain yogurt, some inkoma, some milk to bind a soft dough. You rest the dough for a few minutes. You preheat your oven. You make 16 to 20 balls. place on tray and bake for 5 minutes. You roll the thickness depends on what you want to make. You pre-bake and put under the griller as needed.
You know, a good idea is I've made it before. I made the dough and I've rolled it out into a nice big baking tray, and you put your sauces and your fillings and your chips and you bake it up nicely and you cut it up in squares. Oh, it's so lovely, you know. You're very, very welcomed by all at home as well.
Yes.
And
it's certainly lovely. Lots of people don't prefer yeast dough, so this is just an ideal dough for them to make for the pizzas.
Okay, certainly. Well, a listener has actually said, will you ask a question, name three ingredients you will find in an Italian kitchen. The sister Abila says pasta, pomme tomatoes in tins and parmesan cheese. And she also says that salams always use water for your pasta. It enhances the flavor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one says, I read from an Italian that we shouldn't add oil because oil and water doesn't mix anyway, so it's just a waste.
Okay.
Jazakallah for sharing that. All right. And, okay, let's now go back onto the making of pizzas. And we spoke about cheese, you know, and I said the cheddar cheese, you know, makes the pizzas a bit too oily as well, you know.
Samara, a good cheese is the gouda and the mozzarella.
Okay.
And you can get the white cheddar is not so oily.
The white cheddar, yes.
Yeah, you can
I've
use
seen that.
Instead of the yellow or the orange
yellow one.
Cheddar. Yeah.
Okay.
And also another good base for the pizzas, non-yeast, is to make flatbread.
Okay.
Make it according to the recipe. Cook it, like on your tawa.
Mm-hmm.
Cool it and freeze it. And when you need it, you roll it about the size of a side plate. And when you need a pizza base, you take this out. In its frozen state, you put on your toppings like bologna, etc., and your sauce, cheese, and just put it under the grill for about 3 minutes, and you have ready-made hot pizza.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, also, you know, when it comes to pizza, you know, and you find that many people, like, they fry. If you want to make a bologna pizza or a salami pizza, do you have to fry a bologna beforehand, or can you just put it on raw? A listener wants to know.
Yes and no. You can use it either way.
All right. Okay. I normally just put it as is, you know. I don't fry it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get baked in the oven in any case, you know.
It is going to get baked. But the thing is, some people don't like it. So what happens, you remember something, do not fry it for very long. You give it a very quick fry and take it up and then put it on your pizza.
And if you're frying the bologna, I think it's best to put it in a dry non-stick pan. Because it's got enough fat for it not to stick.
Yes. Okay.
In that way, you're making it in a healthy way, because you're still going to put all that cheese and all that, and that increases the amount of fat on your pizza.
Okay. Then a listener wants to know, if she wants to make a baked beans pizza, you know, should she cook her baked beans beforehand in chutney? And she doesn't want to make it too, like, you know, she doesn't have too much of the baked beans, like the sauce of the baked beans. So how should you go about making a baked beans pizza?
I make that quite often. I don't cook the baked beans. I don't drain off the sauce. I do cook the baked bean, but I do not add any water to it to thin it down. So you cook it as you like. I don't cook it with tomato because you already got a tomato base.
Yes, the baked beans.
You know, the topping of the first topping on the dough is a tomato chutney. Then you cook your baked bean and you put this over and put your cheese, some green pepper, yellow pepper, etc. in little cubes. And you can bake it. And don't forget the oregano.
Oh, yes. Okay. Then a sister wants to know that on what temperature should she bake her pizza if she has a conventional oven?
I think 350 to 400.
Okay.
But if it's a large one, if she's making a large one, she must place it on a baking sheet. or she must sprinkle, I don't know what dough she's going to use, whether it's a yeast dough or a flatbread dough. Then you, you put some semolina, etc. on the tray before you put your pizza dough on.
Okay.
To prevent it from sticking. And this semolina also is a dry ingredient, so it will absorb some of the water from the pizza dough, making it turn brown and turn crispy.
Okay. Then a listener wants to know, when it comes to making pasta, she seems to boil her pasta beforehand and left it aside, and then you know, just before she served it, she made up a sauce. Then, but she found that her pasta sticked together. So what can she do there? You know, normally what you can do is, you know, you've got your pasta in a colander, you just give it a good rinse with cold water.
Rinse. Yes, I was going to tell you, you just give it a good rinse and add it to your filling, and it won't stick away.
Okay, right. And a listener wants to know, why should you add salt when you're boiling your pasta? Antiava?
To prevent it from sticking, firstly. And the salt develops the flavor of the starch, the wheat starch that is, or the durum starch that is used to make the pastas.
Okay.
Otherwise, it will be very bland.
Okay. A listener wants to know, how do you warm the pizza stone? Or you can put it into the oven.
You turn your oven on to preheat, and when the oven is ready, then you put the pizza stone in it, and it is made of clay. I was just looking it up now. It is made of clay because clay is a good conductor of heat.
All right, okay. And also, you know, how thick should you roll your pizza base?
Just under, around about half a centimeter.
Half a centimeter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you will find the recipe we shared now, Antigra just shared the classic pizza roll. You will find that this recipe, you can roll it a bit thin because it has 3 teaspoons of baking powder in it, Antigra.
Yes, yes, it does have 3 teaspoons.
Oh, it will,
so you can roll it thin out, it's fine.
And they say you mustn't overbake it, you know, because you overbake it around the pizza, it gets very hard.
So, Samara, when they're rolling out the dough for the pizzas, they must try. It's difficult. I know. I tried it. I couldn't get it right. Keep the sides of the dough a little bit thicker than the center.
Okay.
Because you've got all this filling on the center, and that is cooking, and the sides are usually bare.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is too thin, it's going to burn quickly.
And
because
you know,
you're baking the pizza at a high temperature.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, Antiava, I thought too what you're saying, because also, the middle of the pizza, it mustn't start getting soggy.
Yeah, it mustn't get. That is why you've got to roll it a bit thin and thicker on the outside.
Right. And, well, and especially on a lighter note, you're talking about pizza and pastas. Maybe next week, give a nice pizza samosa recipe. Well, it's on the website. The state is on the website. You know, I think when we do some Madan Savories, there is a pizza samosa recipe on the website as well. Well, we've come to the end of a lovely, informative program. I really enjoyed it. Learned so much about baking pizzas and pastas, and all the listeners has as well. And jazakallah to Antikareja and Antiava. Back with you next week again. We will come with another lovely, informative program as well. And jazakallah to always Antikareja and Antiava for sharing some of your very, very valuable advice on cooking and baking as well.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, jazakallah from me, Amara, jazakallah from jazakallah to my producer, Mumtaz, and my engineer, Molana Naeem, and our chef that we had on radio today, Chef Yusuf Riava as well, who shared some lovely tips as well. Well, inshallah, back with you next week, Thursday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.